can children pray for praying games? This global, but not the fifth sila.
What citta is that?
It's clinging.
No, is it sin? It and drinking mean, alcohol?
Lopa or not?
The
question
fifth
is about lopa.
No, fifth precept.
Any precept, it depends on citta at that moment, whether it's lopa or dosa.
You mean to say if I like Coca-Cola and I drink Coca-Cola, it's same as drinking alcohol?
No. What about citta which likes to drink whatever it is?
So is it breaking the precept? If I
drink
Coca-Cola.
No, Coca-Cola is not breaking a precept.
It doesn't mean that we have to write another book to tell whether this concern with.
Yes,
lopa likes everything. It clings to anything at any time, whenever it arises.
So the fifth precept is about lopa?
What's the fifth?
In drinking alcohol.
Okay. Lopa or not lopa?
It is lopa.
So what? Right now, just water.
But drinking water is not...
Is there any attachment, wanting to? Wanting is wanting, lopa is lopa. No matter what we call it, is there a kusla at that moment?
Yes.
Whether it's lopa or dosa?
In that sense,
okay.
Yes.
It's a kusla. And it's lopa. So what?
Lopa is lopa.
It's not
akusala
kamma.
Any moment of lopa, even drinking water, lopa water is heedlessness. But is it a breaking of the fifth precept?
Yes, that's the question.
Do you intend not to drink?
No, I don't intend not to drink. That's definitely not.
Do you break any precept because you do not intend to?
As I understand, I don't break the fifth precept. But I have a lot of tanha, a lot of lobha. And lobha is not vipassana, is not understanding the Dhamma.
Why do you want to know whether it's the moment of breaking precept or just a kusala moment?
I would like to clear the games, the children who play games.
You have to write another book about all kinds of games.
You want rules?
Yeah.
That's a question.
Just a question.
So she has to find the answer. Whether it's lopa at that moment will lead to heedlessness. And what's the meaning of sila?
Restrain from doing something which you think is harmful, which you understand to be harmful.
The intention or no intention?
Intention.
So do you intend not to drink?
When the opportunity...
I mean, in order to call whether it's breaking precept or not, one has to intend not to, or abstaining from.
Abstain
but
from.
If you don't have such idea as I will abstain from, no. But the act is done, the deed has been done, then it's akusala kamma or just akusala citta, according to the strength. But at that moment, nothing to do with precept and you do not have intention to abstain
right.
at all.
Right,
right but yeah. I mean, you're at a party and people are drinking and they all say, oh, I have some. And you say, no, I don't want any. So you're abstaining.
Yes, but you don't have intention before that you will abstain. So that you will say that I have broken the precepts.
Likewise, if someone is under the influence of alcohol, it's not that he's breaking the precept all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just that moment when he does break.
We have to know what sila is. Without intention to abstain, it's not sila, but it's akusala citta, and it can be akusala kamma too. When it's killing, it's akusala kamma. You don't have to violate the sila because it's not your intention not to keep it or to abstain from it. But since it's the action of akusala, it has to be akusala kamma.
So justify sila with kusala or akusala citta.
Another meaning, because the ordinary meaning of sila is the deeds or the speech in daily life. Even right now, when citta is kusala, what is done is kusala sila. When the citta is akusala, what is done or spoken is akusala sila. And for arahata, It is apayagata sila in that sense.
What is sila as in undertaking?
With intention.
And it's only again at that moment.
Because you intend not to, but you cannot keep it.
There is a great confusion because of the common parlance where they say maybe I am going to keep the 8 precepts.
And how many sila do you have according to Vinaya, even you do not have intention to say to anyone that I'll keep how many sila. But when we are reading Vinaya, we can see that one can keep more than 5 sila according to Vinaya. But it's not according to Vinaya as monk. But it's the manners of speech and deeds that can be done with kusala. So no need to count how many one has.
What do we call the kusala that's just generally polite, courteous behavior and not using unkind speech?
Depending on citta.
And that sort of thing.
How can you tell when you don't know citta whether it's kusala or akusala from outer appearance?
No, you can't tell from the outer appearance, but some people think
with mana or what? Mm. Politeness with mana? Or
there are all kinds of politeness. I don't want to interrupt, but politeness can be like holding up the door. It can even be with some kind of irritability. It can also be with a moment of humility.
Humility? How do you hold the door open with humility?
Well, instead of you rushing before with an idea of I am
right
first.
The best thing is to understand citta rather than thinking about the story or situation.
Talking about jitas rather than the story or the situation, we always say there are only dhammas, no people, no persons. Just, for example, seeing visible object, eye sense, which falls away, and then karma producing a new eye sense, no person at all. But as someone pointed out, it's still karma of X, not of Y, of a particular person. So when we talk about, for example, eye sense conditioned by karma and then another eye sense, but it's still
by A, but not by B.
Yes, it's still the karma of this person, not of that person.
We have to use concept.
Just using concept, yes.
It's like A and B.
Yes.
B's karma cannot produce A's result.
But when we use these concepts, what do we mean? Because actually there are just focus of eyes.
Otherwise, can we know that we are talking about Dhamma?
Yes.
Maybe it's just a language thing, but I see that you can hold the door open for another person without being impatient and just being considerate for the other person. I wouldn't think of that as with humility. I think when there's an idea of humility, it's probably an idea of self or conceit or whatever you like to call it.
Even so, can that be sila?
Can it be sila?
Is it sila?
Well, sila could only be
sila,
but there can be it. Can
it
be.
Is
it
sila. Yeah, you're refraining from
whatever
being nasty or hurting.
Spoken by what kind of citta?
I'm just not clear on the way you're using the term sila. You did explain it, but I didn't quite follow. So
without rupa, can there be sila?
No.
Except the Indriya Samvara, the higher sila.
Yeah.
So sila comes from the very beginning. The citta condition, the movement of the body and the speech.
Mm.
And we call that sila according to citta. Because when citta is akusala, the movement is akusala sila. It might look very nice, but it's akusala sila by citta. And the higher one, when it doesn't move or no speech at all, but there can be awareness, and that is the higher, the adisila.
So you're talking about rupa as in body intimation and speech intimation?
Because usually we use sila according to the deeds and the speech, through body and speech.
Yeah. So when you use the term akusala sila, sila just means conduct through body or speech of any kind.
Right. And sila is not just that. There are also other levels of sila.
What would be a kusala sila? What would be an example of a kusala sila?
That reads through body and speech.
What citta is there right now?
Well, okay, if there's always lopa and dosa.
This is a kusala sila.
But there's not necessarily any sila at that point.
Otherwise, what would we say about this? It's the manners of body and speech by what kind of citta?
Could their understanding be developed to understand, for example, the more subtle kinds of akusala sila and kusala sila?
I think that we have to read more and more in order to understand better and better meaning and details of what is meant by sila. If we don't read that sutta, we don't know about akusala sila, kusala sila, and abhyankata sila. Because usually we think in terms of just the abstention from ill deeds, but sila is that which is not just abstention.
So no matter how much abstention happens, that will not lead to the more...
Don't is sila, and do is also sila.
Yes.
Not just don't.
And abhyankata sila?
Arahata.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we usually think about akusala and kusala sila. Yeah, what about arahata? See? No akusala, no kusala anymore.
Is the higher kind of sila that's called adhip sila.
Mm-hmm.
That would be accompanied with panya also.
Right, because it has to go with adhi citta and adhi panya, all three together. Adhi sila has to arise with adhi citta and adhi panya. The moment of understanding with awareness, which is satipatthana.
Does that panya have to be lokuttara panya or
not yet? Not yet.
It need not be.
Mm-hmm. Begins.
It can even be before the
right.
The vipassana jnanas maybe?
Right. When we think of the fruit, we forget about the seed.
Yes.
So could we say that adi sila, adi citta, adi panya?
Must be moment of satipatthana.
That means it must have nama rupa as such.
Otherwise, it cannot be all three together.
But you say when we think about the fruit, we forget about the seed.
Mm-hmm.
To begin with, the seed can be so very...
Adi sila, adi citta, and adi panya, up to makka citta.
Yes.
Otherwise, how come the fruit without the seed?
The problem is that a lot of people think that the fruit, whatever we understand the fruit to be, they think the seed is the normal sila, great rest abstaining. They see that as the seed which leads to that fruit, sila, samadhi, panya.
Yeah, that's why pariyati is very important. Otherwise, one will be lost with ignorance.
Can one refer to adi sila at moments of pariyati or only at moments of satipatthana, patipati?
How can it be adi sila without awareness? Just words,
thinking.
Words all the time. Citta, cetasika, paticchasamuppada, all the words.
So even previous to nama rupa,
pariccheda, jnana,
yeah. There can be adi sila.
Otherwise, what's the difference between satipatthana and sati at other level?
So that means there is awareness of nama rupa before the jnana.
The development of understanding the characteristic of nama and rupa. One can see ignorance, how much it's accumulated, because now it's no self, only visible object, and seeing, see, until then, and thinking later, after.
So, doing this in daily life is sila, usila sila and tapusila sila, except the use of karahata.
What's the use of knowing about this?
I feel that we tend to go the wrong way, and it's good to know. For example, what I just stated about some people think that the practice is sila, samadhi, panya, and they take sila to be just the abstention. But when we hear about this kind of sila, the adi sila, then we see the value of satipatthana.
And we can understand the way everything is accumulated, even the manners of speech and deeds by Kusala Citta and Akusala Citta, which is so different.
Yes, Adisila refers and hints at the immediacy of the Paramattha Dhammas of any moment.
And we can see that without Citta, the body cannot move at all. Whenever it moves by Citta, which has been accumulated. Lots of them, conditioned, such manners.
It would seem that the most movement, every movement throughout a day is motivated by lopa.
Differently too.
Differently?
Mm-hmm.
When you hand over money to someone.
Well, whatever movement.
The gift of the gift. The gift of the gift.
In one of your books, I forget which one, you made a comment, this is something very old, that we should not give discarded objects, not even to unrestrained beggars. I mean, this is the translation. But in fact, often things we no longer need, we give away. What did you mean by that? Obviously, there's not as much kusala, not as much dana, there may be very little when one gives things one no longer needs. But, for example, a friend here, she has some shoes she can no longer wear, and she was asking if I could use them. So we do this all the time.
When you give, can you respect the receiver?
One should, yes.
Should?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is what it's just pointing to, just showing the respect for the receiver.
Sorry, it's good you asked that because very recently also
I
was just wondering on that point.
Okay.
I read it recently.
Yeah.
For example, the old shoes, they are discarded and useless for you. You can polish them. You can polish them very nicely and clean them up before you give them away. Then you have respect for that.
So by the discarded object, you just meant not having respect.
When sati arises, it's different.
Yes.
Can I come back to just now about sila, through body and speech, lopa, as Ita was saying, every movement is lopa. We're just thinking about this, even when we hear something about dana, it's so automatic that we sometimes want more, like seek a method how to make it develop. But that's through the mind.
No. But no one knows. Until there's movement or speech. Yeah.
Well, in this case of discussion, no one knows until we say it, that this is what we think.
Wanting to know more about Dhamma, I think that it's a serious thing.
You want to know more or to understand better?
So is having better sila, better conduct, a good aim?
I? Okay. But it's still I. Nobody can help getting rid of I. Only Panya.
Can we say in the long run it doesn't make any difference whether you have good sila or not?
With understanding or with the idea of I? Nobody can stop thinking. Nobody can stop wishing. Nobody can stop hoping to be a better person. But what about right understanding then? Right then?
Of course, without the right understanding, there might just be more idea of I being involved.
I think that now there's a person who still has headache about her own akusala. Who can help? Right. But she still has such headache every week. Same question about akusala, akusala.
I think people worry a lot about their akusala.
Because of the strong clinging to self. One just has to see this clinging to oneself, otherwise always be...
It gets worse.
Same headaches.
And worse and worse.
Right.
Accumulates all along.
But isn't there also behind that an idea that that is the way?
No, that is not the way at
no,
all.
No, but for them, there must be also...
They some. Just want not to have akusala.
Just clinging to kusala.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sukhin is saying the reason they cling so much to the idea of having less of gusa is because underlying it there's an idea that that is the way to develop the path, no?
I think that without panya, she cannot get rid of it at all.